Jesus' name. Amen. If I could have the PowerPoint on, that'd be fantastic. Thank you. So, we live in a world of instant fame. You can put yourself on YouTube, publicize yourself, and become instantly famous. Instant wealth. Each week, 32 million people play the lottery, buying an average of 3 tickets on the hope that they will win a fortune instantly, despite the fact it's 1 in 14 million chance of winning the jackpot. Instant weight loss. There are so many different diets and schemes out there which promise that if you do this, you will lose weight instantly, including things like living on a diet of cabbage and bananas for a week, which must make you fantastic to live with. And you will lose weight. And there's also the other one that I particularly, you know, religiously follow, is instant get fit programs where you can have a transformed body. Because if you follow a high fitness regime, then they promise you a transformed body really quickly. The problem with all of these is that these instant schemes do not produce long-term results. They may produce instant results, but they don't last very long. Because it didn't teach you anything. There's no change. And what happens is that we go back. How many times have you seen television programs where people want to lose weight and the successful ones are those which actually change their life and their habits? It sticks. It doesn't work otherwise. And the culture of instant has sort of come into church. We sometimes think that actually we can grow our faith and we become mature quite quickly. Is it an instant thing? Or is it something for the long haul? Well, we're actually in the next room. We're in maturity. So for those of you, this is your first week. We've been looking at this vision of the house as us as a church and what is our vision for that. So this week, we're in maturity. I think this is a room where there is no instant. There is no quick fix. It's about steady development for us to be sons and daughters of God. So let's go back to the passage that was read. Suzanne read for us. And the key part of the passage I want to focus on is that one. Verse 18, which says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is what Peter told the people to do, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. Notice the metaphor used. Grow. It's a wonderful natural thing. To grow is a slow process. Yeah, I know when we don't see people for ages, we see them, and particularly if they're children, and we say, "My word, haven't you grown?" Which is true. And as the older you get, you do also grow, but not necessarily. Anyway, let's not go there. But actually, the one I want us to focus on is the metaphor of an oak tree. Oak tree is one of the slowest growing trees. And actually, what does it produce? It produces wood that is so strong and so durable and so long lasting. The things that are made out of it last a lot longer. And things and stuff made of cheaper, faster growing woods can often end up being destroyed, and the oak still goes on, slow and sure. I think when we're reading this passage, when we're thinking about maturity, that's what I want us to think like, that we are like oak trees, slow, sure, and very strong. But what are we growing in? What are we growing in? It said in the passage, the grace and knowledge of Jesus. To grow in grace is to mature as a Christian. We're all saved by grace. It tells us that in Ephesians. It says here, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it's a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." As we mature as Christians, as people who want to follow Jesus, we are sanctified. Sanctified means made holy, made acceptable and pleasing to God. And sanctification is an ongoing process. It is by grace alone, though. It is by God's grace alone, his free gift, his blessing that we do not deserve, that we are continually sanctified. God's grace, the gift of Jesus, saves us. God's gift of grace in Jesus changes us. God's gift in Jesus will eventually glorify us in heaven. This maturity process, this sanctification, is daily becoming more like Jesus. And that's what growing in grace is all about. We grow in grace by reading God's word, by letting it dwell in us richly, as Colossians says, and praying. I'll come back to that later. But those actions in themselves don't mature us. God uses these spiritual disciplines to help us grow. Therefore, maturing in our Christian faith is not actually about what we do. It's about what God does in me and you. And that's important. For example, simply reading your Bible every day is no guarantee that you will grow in grace and knowledge. You'll learn more, but you may not grow in grace and knowledge, because we need to be changed by it. We need to let the Holy Spirit change us in what we read. If we don't apply it, we're just doing some academic study. Reading Scripture is key to us, but we have to let it transform us. As it said in Romans, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is and what is good and perfect, acceptable and perfect. Grace, what we're growing in, is an attribute of God which allows us to be saved, to break free of sin and to follow him. But grace also gives us strength. Without it, we're lost. We need to grow in grace. Not by gaining more grace, because actually God's grace never increases. The nature of God is that his grace for us is infinite. We cannot get our minds around it. He sent his only son to die for us on the cross. But also, it can never be any less, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How much more grace could there possibly be than sending his son to die for us so that we could be saved? So to grow in grace is to grow in our understanding of why he did that and what that means for me. The more we learn about Jesus, the more we appreciate what he's done for us, and the more we see his love and his sacrifice for me and you. And we get a glimpse of the never-ending grace of God. Peter confirms in this passage that we need to grow in grace, but we also need to grow in knowledge. We need to grow in knowledge about what an intimate relationship with him looks like. Because the more we know about him, the more other people will see it in our lives. The more we live out what Scripture says, the more people will see of us. It says this in Colossians 3:1-4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. The Scripture contains all the knowledge we will ever need to know about God, his Son, and his Holy Spirit. Well, at least this side of the grave. God's desire for me and for you is that we're called to follow him and to be transformed continually in knowledge and grace. He wants us to be the person that we were created to be. He wants to be us to become more holy like himself. He wants us to be transformed into the image of Jesus, because he is our model. For God, there's no quick fixes. There's no quick fix. There's no lottery. There's no instant weight loss. It's not you give your life to Christ and suddenly you understand all the wisdom and knowledge contained in Scripture. He wants us to do the hard yards. He wants us to grow gradually and slowly, because growth like that lasts. But we do need to grow. The way we do that is by reading, studying, and meditating on Scripture. And not just being satisfied with that, but then applying it to our lives, which actually then convicts us and causes us to change. Whether we're 8 or 88, we need to be convicted continually by Scripture, and we need to be open to be changed through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then we can see this in our lives, which is 2 Corinthians 3. We then, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from God. We will be transformed. We will be changed. So how do we do this? Bible notes, commentary, an app. If you don't know what an app is, ask somebody under 40. Attending a home group, one-to-one, which is best? All are best. We need to read Scripture in the way that we find the best way to engage with it. But we do need to read it. We need to read it ourselves. We need to read other people. We need to talk about it. We need to discuss it. We need to wrestle with it. We need to let it change our hearts and minds, and not just on Sunday. So it's not just about what we read. I've heard the Bible read on Sunday. That'll be fine. Thank you very much. We need to continually do that and wrestle with it, and particularly the bits that we don't understand or don't agree with. I don't care how you do it. We just need to do it. We just need to read Scripture every day and let it change us every day. The other thing that goes with that is we also need to have an active and healthy prayer life. We all know this passage. This is from 1 Thessalonians. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We need to develop a better prayer life. Now, for some of us, actually, reading the Bible is easy because it's tangible. It's a book. We get that. I can open the book and I can read it and I get it. Where's prayer? It's difficult. It's a bit of a challenge because it's a bit otherworldly. It's a bit mysterious. It's a bit, I don't understand it. How that when I think something, when I pray something in my head and I don't say it out loud, how come that God hears it? I don't get it. So therefore, I don't do it. Or I only do it when I remember. Or I do it when we do it here. I was working with a church a couple of days ago, and they're discussing whether or not they do the radical thing of perhaps not have all their services using the Book of Common Prayer. I know that's radical for the 21st century. And one of the people, one of the older people said, but the trouble is, I'm not sure God would understand me, because that's the language I speak to God in. Which is sort of interesting when it's sort of 16th century English. But actually, we need to develop a way of praying for ourselves. It's as important as reading Scripture. You need one with the other. You can't have one only. You can't say, well, I'm really good at reading the Bible, and I do a little bit of prayer. If we want to grow and we want to mature, we have to develop our prayer life and develop our Scripture reading. They go together. They fit together. Get into a habit that works for you. You know the type of person you are. You know what you like and what you don't like. So it may be that you need to meet up with somebody regularly and pray with them, because praying by yourself is just frankly rubbish and you don't do it because you're not very disciplined. But that'd probably be the same as whatever you do. You work better when you work with other people. Maybe a list works for you. Maybe a prayer diary works for you. Maybe, if you're like me, sitting still is tricky, so going for a prayer walk is the key. It doesn't really matter. Just develop some way of praying for yourself and pray over what you're reading in Scripture. Perhaps read a book on prayer. There are loads in the bookstore and in the library. There are two which I've read and I rate, because actually I really enjoyed reading them, and they helped me. One is The Discipline of Intimacy by Charlie Cleverly, and the other one, Tim Keller's book on prayer, Experience, Awe, and Intimacy with God. Both are excellent books, a way of developing your prayer life. And so reading a book about how other people recommend you should pray is really good. So we've got reading Scripture, being transformed, praying to God, being transformed. The other thing that will have to run through this room is the fact that our maturity is not about us working alone. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus with other people. It says this in Hebrews 11, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more to see the day dawning near. Meeting together is key to maturity. Meeting with other people here in church, in home groups, one-to-one, over dinner, over coffee. Not just meeting, but meeting and talking about your faith, talking about the things that challenge you, talking about the things which help you. Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron, that we need to meet with other people and talk and pray with them, because then we mature, because we bash off each other. We shouldn't give up meeting together. It's often the first sign of somebody starting to lose their faith. They stop coming to church or their home group, and then they stop meeting with other Christians. And it really doesn't work, because sometimes they'll turn around and say, well, the thing is, I'm okay, thank you. It'll be fine. And that's possibly true. Their faith in God may not go. Their belief in Christ may not go. But what it is like, imagine a coal fire. It's like taking a coal out of the fire by itself and sticking it far away from something else and not being in the fire. It will lose its heat and go cold really quickly. Whereas actually, if it stays in the fire, it'll carry on being hot. It'll carry on burning. And it will gain strength from the other coals around it. That's what we need to do. We should never stop meeting. We should never stop reading the Bible. We should never stop letting it change us. We should never stop praying. We should never stop growing. Because if we stop, if we take our foot off the accelerator, then what happens is this. Verse 17 of the passage we read. Therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, be aware that you are not carried away with the errors of the lawless and lose your own stability. It's warning here that actually if we stop growing, we will be seduced away into the world and turn our back on Jesus. We won't grow, we won't mature, we won't develop. We need to keep going. We need to keep growing. We need to keep going on. Maturity is our responsibility. It's about us growing. Never being satisfied with, well, I think I know a lot about Scripture, so I'm fine, thank you. I know all about this, and I know all about that, and I don't need to come anymore. Thank you very much. And actually, it's never being satisfied. Because what we need to do daily is to learn more about the love of God and the fact that he sent Jesus to die for us. And what does that look like in my life? And the more I learn about him, the more I learn about his will for my life, the more I love God. I'll finish with one of the quotes from one of my favorite authors and speakers, a guy called Francis Chan. And he said this, God is calling you to be God is calling you to a passionate love relationship with himself. The answer to religious complacency isn't working harder at a to-do list and to-do and don't list. It's about falling in love with God. Maturity is about falling in love with God by reading scripture, by praying, by meeting, by letting it change you. We need to grow. We need to be more mature. We need to love God more and more each day. Our mind needs to be expanded. So what's your challenge from this room? How are we as a church, and you as a member of this church, going to keep yourself going? How are you going to keep others going on this path of spiritual maturity to grow and develop and be changed? So daily, we are more like Jesus, and we will show him to the world. What are you going to do? Let's pray.